Hey guys, Nathan here. Just a quick reminder before we start the show, you can find Radioactive Dads on Patreon. Download the app for free or just hit it with your browser. Search Radioactive Dads or Nice Guy Digital. That's where you can find our tier. For just a few bucks, you unlock the video versions of our podcast as well as some awesome video content that we're making all the time. So give us some support, give us a subscribe. We thank you for it. Here we go. On with the show.
What a burger.
Right.
Do you remember that?
That makes it Whataburger.
Yeah.
There's headphones down there by you somewhere.
I'm glad we all got on the same page.
So it's Whataburger.
Yeah, Whataburger.
But they say Whataburger.
Which is not right.
That's what you and I think.
The way Texans pronounce the A maybe is slightly different.
See, I think you all.
You all? y'all?
Not y'all. I think you all are hearing your own accent.
I don't have an accent anymore.
Only when you say Whataburger.
Whataburger. I could say Whataburger.
Whataburger.
We want to go back to the roots. Wow, I got something in my eye.
I think she's already going. We're already going.
Sweet. Oh, might as well. I mean, that was gold right there.
Nathan, we haven't had a guest on this show yet.
No, it's our first time.
First guest?
How are we going to do this? Do we introduce him or should we just keep talking?
I feel like it's
and let the description take care of it.
Only if people are watching on video would they be able to see who we're talking
to. Well, we put his name in the description.
Well, that's true.
We weren't born in a barn.
How many people read descriptions? I'm curious.
Not me.
I don't know. Probably
I read them
many.
Every now and then.
Yeah, probably not many.
Well, then for those listening at home, we're here sitting in the studio with our friend Eric Valdez.
Hey.
Katie, do you have a clap track? Can you hit that there?
No. Okay. Oh, see, we're we're long form podcast now, so we don't have the soundboard.
No,
ready to go.
No.
Yeah. All good.
But we all met in what 2014, right?
We were
just discussing this. We couldn't remember. It was 14, 15, somewhere.
It was like
around
the summer,
2014.
Like August. Something
I was
like
clearing
that?
Out my memory box recently and found my wristband from the Irwindale Speedway, and I'm pretty sure it was like September-ish of 2014.
Yeah, it was right before our son was born. I know that. I know she was pregnant with our son because. Because during the practice session for our NASCAR race that we were all in together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can't believe that's a
it's
thing that we
amazing.
Can say.
I know. During the practice session for it, I spun my car 360 down into the infield.
That's right.
Of the track.
Yeah.
But was able to keep it going and drive out of the 360. So, like, I came off the corner, spun the car 360,
some Fast and Furious
pointed
stuff.
It in this right direction, and kept driving.
Wow.
And I remember the instructors were like, that's impressive, boy. And I remember that she was up in the stands watching it, pregnant with our first child, going, don't you ever do that again. I'll kill you.
Yep. If you die, I'll kill you.
Wait, didn't you lose a drive, like break a drive shaft or something and spin during the race too?
After all that work of practice and training and everything else, like halfway through the race, my drive shaft blew up. And I thought that I had like popped both of my tires. It felt like that because I went like kind of airborne for a second. But then there was just like smoke everywhere in the car. I thought the car was on fire. So I was about to pull the pin they were saying, like, don't pull it unless you're on fire because you'll suffocate. So I was like listening for my spotter to say, like, you're on fire. And like my fingers were like ready to pull that pin. I was like, I'm not gonna die.
Almost pulled the Ricky Bobby and like took off down the straightaway. Yeah. I'm on fire.
I really wanted to say that as I was like pulling to the infield. But yeah, so fortunately I didn't spin. But they sent me into the midfield.
But you DNF.
Yeah, I DNF'd. I was the only one who
did
DNF'd.
Not finish.
But that's I was completely okay with that because I was so scared that I was going to hit someone or hit the wall that I was like, oh, thank the Lord.
I'm not one to brag, guys, but I started that race on the pole.
That's true. You did
I
start
I finished
on the pole.
In fourth, but I started in first.
How'd that happen, Brett? Oh,
you want to know a little secret about that?
What?
So you remember where me and Mark Paul Gosselaar started?
Yeah.
At the back of the pack?
Yeah.
They inverted the field after qualifying.
Is that right?
So that means you were no, I'm just kidding. I don't know. But they might, I don't know what they did with
they
the qualifying.
They might have. I remember that race. So I remember I started in first position, and then I'm not sure the positions after that, but I know that at the end of the race, Zach Morris, Mark Paul Gosselaar finished in first.
Yep.
You finished second.
I did. He beat me literally. If you watch, we watched the replay a while back. Somebody wanted to see it on my wife's side of the family, and it was a good race in general.
Close.
Yeah.
And then I finished like at his door. It was a really good finish.
It was a close finish. Yeah.
Although I didn't realize it at the time because I was in the car, but watching the replay, Corbin. Like damn near took all of us out. He drove in so hard on that last lap. It was a good move. I mean, he dove in so hard to try and come down on because the two of us were battling it out. And so he finished third. And Corbin Bleu.
High School Musical.
He was the dark horse of that whole thing. In practice and everything, he was doing fine. But it wasn't like, oh my goodness.
I think he was sandbagging.
Yeah,
he might have been.
Yeah.
I know. So him and I had done the Long Beach Grand Prix that before that race.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
The year before that race, we had done it together. And so it was like his first time like driving sort of, even though it's a charity race and everything, but like driving competitively, I guess, if you want to call it that. And I remember him at Long Beach, like he had this look in his eye, like he was upset with himself after Long Beach because I know that he knew he could have done more. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like he was like, man, I left something out there on the track. And so then when we got to Irwindale for that stock car race, I was like, he's coming. I know he's going to be coming
because
I could tell after Long Beach that he was like, man, I had more to give.
Nice.
And so I remember I was sitting in third because you and Mark had passed me and because I probably didn't belong on the pole anyway. And you guys, those stock cars are a much different animal than Long Beach, man.
It's a little,
And so you guys passed me and then Corbin was behind me and it was one of those things where he started to go around me and I was like, it's happening. I'm just, let it happen. I don't know what I'm doing. This is just gas and brake. I have no idea what I'm doing. And
to be fair, that's a very good finishing. Mark Paul and I both have extensive professional racing background. We should have finished the way that we finished, right?
Yeah.
So to the fact that like you and Corbin were up there in the mix is pretty impressive.
Oh,
so,
thanks,
you know,
man.
Pat yourself on the back. Yeah, Nathan would have been there too if it weren't for the drive shaft.
No, I don't know so much about that because I qualified like middle rear of the pack and I was just too chicken to make any passes
on
anybody.
Well, I have to say, look, Nathan, I'm not going to blame you right now, but let me just say something.
Just passive aggressively, sure.
Look,
go for it.
Whatever happened to your car caused most of the race to be run
under
yellow
right.
with a bunch of kitty litter out there on the track because your car was spraying something out there.
I was premature.
I'm just saying
that
Mark Paul, he passed me on one of the restarts. So I'm just saying maybe if I would have had a free run.
Oh, maybe, Brett.
No.
Maybe you're right.
Maybe we should do this again.
Let's
maybe
do it.
Maybe there should be a rematch.
Let's get some cars and go for it.
I agree. I'm always
You know
down.
What we should do? We should go back out there to Irwindale or find us a track and go settle this thing and film it for Patreon.
I think
that's a brilliant idea.
That's what we should do, Nathan.
If anyone wants to donate their cars... to have us get a grudge match
track.
Against each other
well,
and a track.
See, when we talk about
and
Patreon,
safety crew.
When we talk about Patreon on this show, though, this is exactly the point. Like, if you guys are listening and you're appreciating what we're doing and you want to go throw a couple bucks, it's really cheap. It's not much per month. You throw a couple bucks behind this here podcast that you love so much.
This here?
It allows
we'll buy you
us,
a Whataburger.
Well, that Whataburger just opened up a whole new vocabulary.
It allows us to be able to take some of the money and then go do fun things like that, like rent out a track and do this thing and settle it.
Bro, can you imagine?
Know?
Get everybody together.
Yeah.
That would be rad.
But those are the
That'd
types
so
of things
cool.
that we're talking about that we're going to do with the funds created from Patreon. So that's an example of something we could do.
There you go.
And I think we should do it whether we get the funds raised or not.
I think so,
because I want to film it and I want to go do it.
I agree. I'm in.
All right. Yeah. Good. Let's call Mark.
I've been talking to that guy recently. Ironically, he and I are working on something racing related together. Yeah, with I don't know if I can mention which company, but we're trying to do something together, car related, because that's an obsession of ours. So,
I remember, he's still around, dude. I remember meeting him because like I'm a guy who grew up watching Saved by the Bell. I grew up a fan of his, obviously.
Yeah, I think we all did.
Yeah, and so meeting him, you know, he's like, "Hey, I'm Mark Paul." I'm like, "You're Zach Morris, buddy."
Yeah.
But he was
I have
so
a t-shirt of
great.
You.
He was just such a nice guy and like down to earth and. I don't know. It was really cool to hang out with him and stuff, and we should just put the whole band back together and go racing.
I agree. That would be brilliant. That'd I also love that like he got to the point where he was so good and so comfortable that like in the middle of training when I'm like trying to take any laps that I can possibly get, there was one point where they were like Tim was like, "Hey, you want to get back in the car, get some laps?" He's like, no, I'm good. I'm going to go home.
Yeah.
Like, you are really good at this. Yeah. If you're at the point where you just want to go get some sleep rather than putting some laps in.
Well, Eric, what is your racing background? Or, like, let us shed some light on what you mean by doing some professional racing.
Well, let's see. I mean, I pursued motorsports before entertainment. Those are my two passions. And so I had, you know, short version of the story, growing up in Texas and everything, I'd done some theater as a kid and really wanted to get into racing early. I didn't come from a wealthy family. My parents didn't really care too much about motorsports, so I got a later start than most. I started racing at like age 15.
Wow.
And got into some lower level SCCA stuff, shifter carts, well, initially what they call tags, and then shifter carts, and then instructed at the Bondurant School out in Arizona, to more for networking. It didn't pay very much, but it was a great place to you know, get seat time every single day and meet rich business guys to potentially sponsor my career, which never happened. Yeah. But did that, and then, you know, a handful of other things. And then when I moved to California, it was to do a show called Gilmore Girls. Very small role, but it was...
I never heard of that one. Yeah, did that show ever take off?
You know what? I got an 11-cent residual check from it the other day, nice. So I think it's doing just fine.
You can turn that in for a free drink at Residuals.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. Is that place still around?
Yeah, I think so.
If you bring a check that's less than a buck, they give you a free drink.
Yeah.
I got like 30 of those. I've just been hoarding them because I thought I was going to make this cool collage about the reality. So
they do that. They put the checks up, I think, on the wall.
Let's do the racing, then we'll do the drinking. We shouldn't do it the other way
around. Probably not the other way around.
I don't think anyone on Patreon should be supporting that. They go on, they search, oh, radioactive dads, what are they going to do? Oh, they're going to
drink and drive. What?
No.
Pay us to drink and drive.
No, that's not what we do.
That's not what radioactive dads is about.
No.
Not at all.
We
just... Thank you, Eric. Serious all of a sudden.
Back to your racing career.
So, shorter version of the story, because I talk a lot. Since then, I've done quite a bit. I mean, as we all know, you know, when you're working as an actor, you know, if you're Tom Cruise, you can do anything you want. But just as a working actor, there are perks that come along when you're doing stuff on a television show or whatever. And I get the business side of that now. When you're more marketable than just an average person that likes to race cars, it makes more sense to get in cars. So for the past few years, I've done... I raced Porsches out of Daytona in the IMSA Continental Sports Car Challenge series. I did the Baja 1000, the Baja 500.
Like in the trucks? Like
in the trucks, not trophy trucks. I did what they call a Sportsman Unlimited truck, so it's like four notches below trophy trucks.
Wow. Still.
So, that's so cool. I've done, you know, and a handful of other things. Just any chance I can get behind the wheel, I will do it because that's my addiction.
Yeah,
so
man.
So this is interesting to me. So if you're doing those trucks in Baja, it's still over sand and over dirt and everything. Right?
Oh, dude, it's the craziest experience I've ever had. Not just talking about in a vehicle, but in life. Like, I started, you know, for the 1000, I started the race. So we start in town in Ensenada, and you literally, there's just a sea of people kind of lining the town. You take off, you know, there's a left and then another left, and then you go right down into a wash that leads you out into the middle of the desert. Mm. I kid you not, for the first 3 to 4 miles, it's just people on either side.
Wow.
It's like 300, 400,000 people that just show up, you know, for the Baja 1000, and there's no guardrails, there's nothing. There's this thing that they call the suicide selfie down there. Mm-hmm. People will literally go out in the middle of the dirt path on the way out to the desert and like try to get a selfie of them with your truck barreling down and then jump out of the way at the last minute.
That is the dumbest
thing
I've ever heard a human do. Just going to that race in general as a spectator is crazy.
It is. Like,
yeah, but imagine the likes, Nathan.
Imagine it.
Do it for the gram.
Imagine the double tapping that happens on the last photo of you ever taken.
Imagine my skull getting double tapped on the hood of a Baja 1000 truck.
Man. Jeez.
I can't.
That would actually get more likes.
Probably. Probably.
E-bombs world.
Right. That is where it would land, isn't it? But that's just crazy.
It's crazy, man.
So but that's a whole different level of training then. Right? Obviously you're sand carries grip a lot differently than pavement and riding around in a Porsche.
What's different about it in most of my life has been on asphalt and road racing. And what's different about this is, you know, when you're learning a track or whatever, the variables are temperature, tire degradation and, you know, the track surface itself and how it reacts to temperature and rubbering in, et cetera. Mm. And aside from that, that's about it. The suspension on the car, provided nothing breaks, is fixed once you're going. And the braking points, turn-in points, et cetera, are all going to remain in the same position. Mm. Out in the open desert, it changes dramatically. And yeah, it changes not from the last time you, like, pre-ran that section of the track or the course. The last vehicle that went through, you know, if they were offline a little bit, they had a puncture, they this or whatever, the sand shifts, the gravel, everything moves. So it's just
so crazy.
Driving by the seat of your pants, really. Yeah. And the other part of it is mental, you know, physical exhaustion, but mental. I was in the truck for 8.5 hours straight. And you're going
driving as fast as you can.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are sections where you're not doing more than 15, 20 miles an hour because they're super treacherous on the side of like cliffs and stuff.
Yeah.
And there's sections where you're doing 95, 100 miles an hour through the open desert with the suspension just doing all sorts of crazy stuff over whoops that are almost as tall as this table.
Wow.
And yeah, so it's one of the gnarliest things I've ever done. And, you know, it's something that, you know, as a dad, now that we're transitioning into talking about dad stuff, because this is a dad show, stuff that you start thinking about a little more, right? Like
yeah,
out there when you're in the middle of a truck and you're not a father or whatever, there's only so much you have to lose, so to speak.
Right.
You know, talking about racing and us going back and doing stuff again, I always will have that in me because that's just my nature.
It's
but in general, every move that I make now has this like little, how's this going to affect my kid? How's
so
this going to affect my family?
Look,
so
like like most dads, I could sit here and talk tire degradation all day long. But yes, in making the transition, I mean, let's talk about it, man. How many kids you have? How old are they? All that good stuff.
I've got one kid, a son, whose name is Enzo. Again, stupid
Ferrari
car guy stuff, yeah. But it's a pretty rad name
it
outside
cool
of being, you know, an Enzo, you know, named after Enzo Ferrari. But yeah, he just turned 1 3.5 weeks ago.
Enzo yeah, Valdez.
Enzo Ray Valdez, yes.
Oh, my. Whoa. Supermodel.
I mean, the dude, he's got to do something with his life,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
He's got eyes for days. I still, like,
I'm looking at Brett in the eyes, and I'm like, I see my son.
Really?
Like, I don't know where he
got
the
blue eyes
from. He got some crazy blue eyes.
Enzo Valdez with blue eyes?
Yeah.
Oh, forget it.
He's a Latino
it
with blue eyes.
Call
with
Spielberg right now.
Dude. Yeah,
oh, my God.
The rest of his life. He
dude,
can
you're,
his
in, you're in trouble, man.
I know.
He's
going to be a killer.
You should see this kid's personality, too.
Really?
It's, he's just...
Wait, how old? I missed how old. I'm sorry.
He just turned a year 3 weeks ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
yeah,
the 22nd he'll be 13 months. So.
That's great.
Is he
man
walking yet?
He's this close.
Yeah.
He'll hang onto my finger and we'll walk all around the house and stuff. The moment I let go, he'll like stop and like kind of shake and then just sit down
because
he gets nervous.
Yeah.
But he's there. He's got to mentally get himself
right
over that hump, I guess.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, it'll happen. I mean, yeah, we're like Rosie is almost she's like a year and a half now and she's still not. She's at that exact same point. We'll
yeah
walk with her. And she's taken, like, her record is, like, 6 steps.
Nice.
But still, even then, she
that's,
just... But,
there you
so
go.
She's, like, doing it, but she doesn't want to. That's the... She's so stubborn. When
yeah
we try to get her to walk, she just is like, no, just
did you
me.
Did you... Were you able to capture those on film?
No, they happen so randomly, and anytime we're recording, she won't do it.
Right.
Every
I find
time
that to be the case. Well, for the most part, when I'm trying to capture something cool
mm-hmm
like that, like Enzo just stops. But if he's being a clown and I turn the camera on him, he just cranks the hamness up. It's
nice.
It's very
oh
weird.
Yeah. You're in trouble big time.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
He knows exactly what he's doing.
Yeah.
It's formative year for him.
I taught him to make race car sounds now. So like he'll
yes
pick up his Hot Wheels and everything. I'll be like, Enzo, what is that? Is that a race car? And he'll go, rum, rum, rum.
Yes.
I've done something right as a father.
So good. I love
awesome
it. Raising them right. That's what's
yeah
important.
Indeed.
So cute, man. What's, all right, let's just talk. Let's get into it. We want to talk about on this episode, like, you know, we're three dads sitting around here.
Mm-hmm.
There's this thing out there in the world called a dad bod.
Yeah, there is. It's sitting right on me.
Yeah? Let's talk about it, man. How do we deal with it? How do we keep it away? Or how do we embrace it? What are our feelings? Go.
Geez, should I?
Yes, please.
Should I chime in first?
Because
I'm the oldest here.
And I think you're also the one doing the best at
yeah,
this.
I was
so
gonna
maybe
say
we should get some motivation
still looking
from
you good in that fire suit.
Uh-huh.
Thanks,
yep
buddy.
They'd have to
svelte
let mine out
death
a little bit.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I don't think mine would fit anymore. I'd have to go over to DJ Safety and make some modifications.
Have him, you know, add a little what is it? Not elastic. I was going to say Velcro.
Yeah.
See, dad brain. I can't even think
well, yeah,
of words
so
anymore.
Yeah, that's the other part of it.
So how do you do it, man? How do you stay fit?
Man, I mean, well, thank you, first of all, for kind of acknowledging that, it makes me feel good because it's a struggle. Yeah. I mean, especially, you know, I'll be 40 this year in August.
No.
I'll be 40. Yeah.
What?
And
you don't look a day over 39.
Man, I appreciate that. Thank you. I'm going to take you to Whataburger.
Okay.
When we're done. We're just
you
going
mean
to
Whataburger?
Texas. Yeah, Whataburger.
You mean Whataburger?
Yeah, Whataburger.
Yeah, that's what I said.
It's Whataburger, right, Nathan? Whataburger?
Yeah, you're right. You're both right. Both of you are right.
That is the last thing we need to combat dad bod.
That's true. That would kind of defeat the purpose.
But, you know, it's just I find that I try to not – obviously having kids changes your life dramatically in every facet. But I try to still make time for myself. And some days that means going to the gym and working out traditionally. Some days that means strapping the kid to the – you know, in the carrier and going on a hike.
Mm-hmm.
Some days it means – just going off and going for a drive for an hour or so. And that whole, like, self-care, if you want to call it, I think all plays into it. Am I going to have the abs that I had at age 24? Probably not. I'm okay with that now. I mean, kind of. I'm not 100% okay with that. I still long for certain things, but I'm also realizing that with life schedule, with, you know, work, with the kid, and age definitely plays a factor. I mean, you guys aren't there yet, but, like, I'm not using it as an excuse, but after like 35, man, things really start to change and you have to work so much harder for it. So for me, it's just I don't go crazy with any silly diets or, you know, stupid workout regimens or whatever, because I find that when I do try to go really hard, I don't follow through,
mm-hmm.
A, and B, physically, like, I can't keep up. As much as I think I can't do what I used to do in my 20s or early 30s. So I have to allow time for recovery, and I'm happier, you know, knowing that I'm okay not being this, whatever this version of me was way back when.
Do you find that, because I find that once the kids were here and everything,
mm-hmm.
In general, about a lot of things, I sort of stopped caring as much as I used to, mm-hmm. about things, like, for instance, sports, mm-hmm. really, or, like, a lot of stuff, and including, like, appearance a little bit. Like, yep. Especially right off the bat, I was like, oh, I'll just wear a t-shirt and jeans every day. I don't, you know, whatever. Which I always was kind of doing that anyway.
Yeah.
But then it sort of
changed for me. That's my high-level stuff.
But it sort of became, like, slovenly a little bit. Like, where I was just like, I really don't care. Because the only thing that matters is them and, like, mm-hmm. taking care of them whatever. And the same thing with, like, the sports teams and stuff. I was like, oh, they lost. Like, I would watch the whole game. They lost. I was like, well, on to the next or whatever. And that it became the same way with eating.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh, whatever. I'm just grabbing this thing quick, or it's unhealthy, or it's comforting. So I'm just going to go with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then after our son was born, our firstborn, I remember, for the last few months of the pregnancy and then for the first few months that he was born, it's like I turned around one day and I was like, oh, I got to go buy new pants.
Yep.
Or I got to start working my butt off, mm-hmm. and get back into shape. So it was like, you know, when you go off to college, you get like the freshman 15. It was like the first kid 15.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think that's that's legitimately a real thing.
Yeah.
Oh, I definitely gained that much for sure.
Like, what was your experience?
I was trying to do really well with like eating pretty well and working out leading up to the baby because I knew that it was going to be different.
Right.
And for the first like 3 months, I didn't do anything whatsoever. Because it was also, right after Rosie was born, it was a really hard 3 months. She had, like, crazy reflux and colic. It was just, like, all hands on deck.
I was right there with you.
Yeah, every minute of the day was just that. There was just no time. And you're so exhausted at the end of the day. It's not like, okay, great, she's down. Now I'm going to work out for 45 minutes, you know? Like, heck no. I'm going to sit and I'm going to watch something and eat ice cream and then go to bed because she's going to be up in 2 hours.
Well, and I think there's something, too, about, like, your body going through your body and mind going through these changes and like almost like a shock sort of.
You get into survival mode.
That's what I mean by like eating, because let's face it, all the unhealthy stuff is the comforting stuff too.
Yeah.
So it's like you're almost subconsciously just like, I need stuff that makes me feel good or normal or
whatever.
There's
so many moments of like, I earned this. You know, like I had a hard day and I deserve a ho-ho.
Yeah.
So
that's your go-to?
No, that's more just a for instance. And I just like saying ho-ho. But
what is your go-to when you go off? Like if you just want to like, you're just like, I'm going to be unhealthy for the next 5 minutes or whatever.
Just
like,
a whole bag of cheddar jalapeno Cheetos.
Whoa. Whole bag.
Like I would.
I don't even know if I've ever had those.
You haven't? Oh, they'll change your life.
I don't know if I've had cheddar jalapeno.
Oh, they will change your life.
I didn't know cheddar jalapenos. I know Flamin' Hot and like.
No. Flamin' Hot is not enough. Cheddar jalapeno is perfect.
Really?
That is the jam. But so yeah, I try not to generally.
Yeah.
But that is generally my go-to thing. The biggest thing is just like just trying to find time. That's been the biggest problem. Because like for me also right at like 6 months, we traveled a lot and it was like visiting family in Louisiana and Michigan and Mississippi and all over the place. And like everyone just ate horribly.
Mm-hmm.
In that phase, I gained 15 pounds. So dad bod 15 happened in like a month.
Wow.
And I'm only like 8 pounds down from that. So I did the same. I had to buy new pants. I had to like break out old pants that used to be way too big on me that suddenly are freakishly well-fitting. And like the stuff that I like just does not fit the same way. So I had that like come to Jesus moment of like, you either need to change yourself mm-hmm. or change your wardrobe mm-hmm. because this is just not working. Mm-hmm. The big thing for me now that I finally started getting better at, because my big thing is too, I had back surgery last year when Rosie was like 8 months old.
Yes, and we were supposed to talk more about this actually. Yeah.
It has not gone well. So I'm like severely limited in what I've been able to do. I can't really lift or do anything like I was able to do in the past. So I'm trying to find things that keep me going. And that's always been an excuse for me of like, well, my back hurts. So I don't want to do deadlifts right now. You know, like there's just no way.
So what are you doing?
I finally start. And it's weird. You'd think that it would be bad for my back. But we bought like one of those kid carrier backpacks, like a trekking backpack.
Mm-hmm.
And I put her in there and we have started hiking and doing nice long walks, good elevation. And that is actually like starting to strengthen my back and my core, especially because you have to like sort of bend forward when you're in those backpacks. So it's constantly engaging that. And I've started feeling really good doing that.
Well, that's good.
So it's been a lot of experimentation, but that's been like the thing that's kind of kept me going. Hmm. So as much as I miss like lifting, you know, doing proper weights and going to a gym, it's just not feasible for me anymore. But I think that that's the moral of the story. It's just like, find what you can do and just stick with it.
Yeah.
Especially if it's something that involves your kid, because it gets them out, it shows them sights.
Yeah.
Put the sunscreen on and go. You're good for a couple hours.
I think for me too, and it falls in line with what you're talking about there, in terms of finding your motivation, right? Like motivation changes. And I know us being in the entertainment industry, there's always going to be that sense of like vanity and personal like need to maintain some sort of appearance or whatever because it's what we do for a living. But for me, I find that now, again, and maybe this plays into my age more than anything, but I'm like, you know what? I'm going to already be kind of that old dad. Mm-hmm. Like when my kid is a teenager and wants to throw the football around and wants to go do this, and so, I better make sure that I can hang.
Yeah.
And for me, it's now become more of a way, my motivation comes from wanting to stay as youthful as possible for my son.
So true.
Because again, like we're not going to stop aging. As a matter of fact, we've all experienced it. When you have a kid, suddenly everything goes a little faster and like degrades a little more. Mm-hmm. And so knowing that that's, you know, in the back of my head, knowing that that's what's coming, I'm trying to combat that as much as possible. So it also changes, like instead of going and lifting super heavy at the gym or whatever, I've always kind of trained more like an athlete, whatever that means to, you know, it means different things to different people. But for me, it's more movement-based and, you know, not super heavy weights, but just balance and core strength and functional exercise.
Yeah.
And now more than ever, that's what really, you know, means a lot to me is just how am I going to have to pick him up like this? Okay, can I replicate that with a kettlebell? Or can I do, you know, something like that and make it make sense, you know?
Right, yeah,
you start, like, a whole workout video, like dad workouts.
Dude, should be the next Patreon tier.
We should absolutely do that.
Come on, man.
Yeah, dad workouts.
Pause for a second because I am unfamiliar with Patreon. Can you let me know what this is about?
Yeah, I'll tell you all about it. Like, basically, it's a website that a lot of people are using now, which is basically like so many people are doing so many different things in so many different areas of entertainment, whatever that is, you know. And so instead of just you know, doing a podcast and putting it out there for free, it's like, well, how do we monetize this on the other end, you know? And so we can get sponsors, we can do those things, and you chase those down every day. But if the listener is listening in and they want to support it, they absolutely can make that choice and go sign up on like a subscription-based level, and then we give them bonus content off of that, or we can print up T-shirts, or we can, like I said, like go rent to the track for the day and then make a big content video out of it, and they can get entertainment out of it that way. So it's just a way of like the listeners and the audience getting involved at like a really grassroots level. Now, the podcast is always going to be free anyway.
Right.
For sure.
So it's all good.
The point's not to make it just like, okay, now you have to pay for
it's
what
it's like something extra that you can do, and because you're doing it, then we'll give you extra stuff based on the top of it anyway.
You know? So you feel, as an audience member, like you're invested in what is being created.
It's an investment. Yeah, absolutely. Like if there's a painter out there who, you know, is spending the days in their studio and painting all the time and things like that, but like that doesn't necessarily pay the bills in the meantime or whatever. But so it's like people can support because then they get exclusive deals or, you know, whatever based on top of it.
Yeah.
So it's just a way of like getting involved and supporting.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, man.
All right. So unpause because now I want to know, Brett,
what are you
doing? What's your routine?
Oh, I just don't eat.
Oh, cool. That's healthy.
That's technically
an effective way to do it.
Yeah.
Your bones might crumble.
You know,
but
it's, I say it that way to be funny, but it's kind of true a little bit.
No,
and
I've seen you eat chicken soup.
I'm aware of.
Just the broth.
Oh, that's what it was. You were just slurping liquid.
That's it.
Just peed it right out.
I'm laughing because that's actually true. That we went to dinner and I had a chicken soup. I'm aware that it might not be the most like healthy way to go about it, but it's something that I can control and I'm not like full on like not eating. But what I've done is I've just decided to control portion size for sure.
Mm.
So like, If we order pizza or something, like it's like instead of having, you know, three slices, have two or one or whatever. You know what I mean? Just willpower.
Right.
And force yourself to like, you know, not snack at night while watching TV. You know, like I put a every room in my house, you guys would laugh. Every room in my house, I have one of those like plastic things that you're cups of gum that you're supposed to put in your cup holder of your car.
Oh, uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like those are in every room of the house because I'm like, okay, if I'm going to go reach for the Cheez-Its or reach for the whole bag of jalapeno cheddar
jalapeno Cheetos.
Sponsor us.
Instead, I like
boxes.
Reach over.
That would look good on the side of a race car.
Yeah, it would.
Actually.
Instead, I just reach over and throw in a piece of gum and then continue watching TV. So it's all about just controlling the intake for me.
Okay.
Because I know that with all the radio shows and with all the auditioning and all the other stuff, it's like I might not get to the gym as often as I want.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm going to control the portion. So I still eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner like everybody else. It's just not as much.
Okay.
And then no snacking in the meantime. And so I'm just trying to maintain.
I see.
You know what I mean?
At first I was concerned. So like, it doesn't sound like wellness
to not be
eating.
Intervention
but,
here.
Well, I mean, like,
but a portion control is good. That's what we should be doing anyway.
For breakfast, I'll just like eat an apple. You know what I mean? And like then
that's
try
your
to
breakfast though.
An apple and a coffee.
Do like
and then
an
go
apple and like
and
some
and
almond butter though. So that you're getting like a carb,
fats,
a protein, and a fat.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe. But you know, it's just like have an apple. Then around lunch, it's like, you know, something small. You know, like maybe a soup or something, like a cup of soup.
Just
or something
some
like
broth.
That.
Just some.
Not
just some
the
diner
broth. I'll eat the noodles and the chicken too. But and then you know, for dinner, like no seconds. You know, just have your one plate of food and then don't go back for more. You know, save the leftovers.
Interesting.
So it's all about just like control and willpower.
Yeah. One thing that I'm actually.
But it's hard.
Yeah, it's very
for
hard.
Sure.
And one thing that I'm curious about that I've kind of toyed with doing. Because sometimes I've done it like by accident and I've actually felt really good doing it, is like the intermittent fasting thing.
Yeah, well, I think that's basically what I am doing, just sort of in my own way.
Brett pioneered it.
Oh, yeah. You invented it.
Yes. I definitely didn't invent it, but.
Yeah, but I don't know. I feel like, especially when time is of the essence in our phase of dadhood, like the idea of not having to stop to make food and eat it for a half hour is actually kind of nice. And especially if that's supposed to be like, I don't know, that's like the new fad thing, I guess, that it's supposed to be super effective.
Well, it goes in waves for me, man, because when our kids started eating solid foods, you know, at dinner, then I would notice.
We're there now.
Well, then I would notice that, like, they wouldn't finish or something, right? But they're done and they're full. And then I'm, like, eating the rest of the chicken.
I was about to say,
or
dad
I'm
confession.
Over and, yeah.
Yeah. So are you eating your children's food? When
of course.
They don't finish it.
Of course, because I'm walking their plate to the sink, and there's still, like, a lot of chicken on there or still, like, a half a hot dog or whatever it is that they ate.
Yep.
And I'm like, I don't want to throw this away. I come from a background of, like,
I
don't throw
that
food away. That's good food.
Yep.
You know? And so, like, of course, I'm just going to eat it real quick.
Yeah.
And then I just noticed that, like, after weeks of that, then it's like, whoa, got to check myself time again, you know?
Yeah.
And then I don't eat for a while again. And then I'll go in a wave of, like, eating again. So, I don't know. It goes in waves for me, man.
Our big
fluctuate.
Yeah, well, that's good. It's important to stay flexible.
It's not only that, for us, though, like, We try to give Enzo like organic this and like sure. super healthy things, and like when we do cook, it's like broccoli and, you know, chicken and vegetables, and try to keep him super healthy. But like some of these little like snacks that we get, even though they're like organic this and that, man, we found some like vanilla oatmeal something or another ABC cookie cracker things the other day.
Oh, that sounds delicious.
Dude, I probably had, you know, 25 of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start looking at the calories, and it's like they're not super dense calorically, but it's like, okay, well, there's 100 calories
Dude,
gone.
You know mm-hmm. those, you ever get those, the tubes of like the yogurt melts?
Oh, yes.
You know what I'm talking about?
Those things are delicious.
No, we have the little yogurt things,
like,
but not the
little
tubes.
Bags.
No, these things are like these freeze-dried, they look like mini Hershey Kisses
or
something.
Oh, they're so good.
Whoa. They're like freeze-dried yogurt. They come in a bag, so they're like dry.
Yeah.
But when you put them in their mouth, they sort of like liquefy, and they just taste good. I think it helps mm-hmm. them through teething and
yeah.
things like that.
Gosh,
but
that's
also,
a big teething thing
it's like
us.
Sort of the first finger foods type things. They're mm-hmm. like Gerber, you know, for babies. Anyway, oh, I could eat a whole package of those yogurt
sure.
melt things.
Because they just
delicious.
It's like negative food.
So
it just,
good.
It just evaporates
it just
in your mouth. Yeah, it's not actually
it's not
going
really
into your body.
Do it, yeah.
It, for that, for me, it's those. It's the yogurt melts. And then we also get these like carrot mango quinoa puffs. That's like her go-to.
It's the most L.A. thing I've ever
yeah.
heard
just
in my life.
Just some carrot mango
it's also got kale in it.
Yeah. That's the other bag. But we give those, that's like her staple. Like, if she is out at the grocery store and having a meltdown because she's hungry, we go for those. And she will just slam them, and so will I.
I forgot how much I love applesauce.
Yeah.
Applesauce.
Those little pouches.
Yeah,
you
unscrew you
don't
the
eat
tops.
As an adult until you have a kid again.
Uh-huh.
Dude, one of those, like, they're like those little Capri Sun.
Exactly.
Yes.
Pouches.
Oh, the best.
So good.
Oh, forget it.
Yeah. So
I
good.
Put three of those away, no problem.
You know what's the worst one, though? And this is I can't get on this train, but London has been doing this since she was a teenager. Baby weenies, those
what?
Jars.
What do you mean?
Oh, with the
those
little,
nasty
no
little like
way.
Like Vienna sausages.
That's
no,
what
not
they look like.
They look like Vienna sausages, but they're for baby. Like they're practically
and they're in a
pre-digested.
Liquid?
Yeah, they're in like Blah. Jelly.
Oh,
it's like
no.
a Gerber thing,
no.
and they're like chicken flavored, and they have like a casing around them, sort of. But they're so easy to eat.
That's
they just,
like one
fall
of those
apart.
Mom cravings, dude.
That's
I don't know. What
well,
that
then
is.
She's had a mom craving since she was like a freshman in high school. She would bring like a jar in her school lunch and like hide it under the table. And people would be like, "What are you doing?"
That needed an intervention.
It really
point.
Did.
Whoa.
And I actually, when I proposed to her, part of the spread of the picnic
you
that I made,
knowing that this was
knowing
part
that,
of her.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
When I told my it's brothers love. To go to the grocery store to help me get some baby weenies to prepare for this, they were like, "Are you sure?"
Wait, you made like a picnic?
That was included
I did
in the proposal?
Yes. When I bought her grandfather's Mustang and gave it to her as like a wedding present.
Wow.
I took it to the top of a mountain,
wow.
drove her up there, made like a little picnic spread, and we had like a picnic on the top of the mountain with the car, like little, you know, chairs and blanket, whatever. And part of it was like fruit, cheese, you know, not wine because we were driving.
Baby weenies.
And baby weenies. And she, that was like
I
the special
I thought you were
going to
say you put the engagement ring around one of the baby weenies and put it at
put
the bottom
the
of the jar.
Oh, what a missed opportunity.
Dude. Wow.
Are you serious?
10th anniversary.
Fail.
How did you not think of that?
I'm gonna
yes.
steal. I'm gonna. Hopefully, she's not listening to this. I'm gonna steal her wedding ring and make her think she lost it.
Perfect.
And then I'm gonna put it in a jar of baby
around
weenies.
Around a weenie.
I'm gonna wrap it around the weenie.
Oh man.
And I'm gonna give it to her on the 10th anniversary. That's brilliant.
Wow.
Oh, I hope she's not listening to this. Oh, that's such a great idea.
Do you try to go? Like, how organic do you try to go though? For real? Like, is it?
Like,
I mean, I know Eric. Like, you're saying you do, but you're still at the beginning. Like, is it starting to crumble a little? Or are you guys like militant with it? Like, how strict are you?
No, we're purposely not being overly militant, right? Like, I feel like the kid still needs to be a kid, right? And
yeah.
we don't want to shelter him too much. So we went to Disneyland for the first time the other day, and which was amazing, by the way. He, you know, I didn't go to Disneyland until I was 25. That was the first time I went to
different.
Disneyland. My kid is one. I'm like, you have no clue how good you have it right
oh,
now.
They really don't.
But we were walking through there and had a good old time and everything. And of course, you're Disneyland, you've got to get churros. I say churros, sorry. It's just, that's the Latino
jalapeno.
To me.
I love
so
it.
So we had to get some churros. And of course, I'm eating it in front of him. And my wife is eating. I'm like, I'm not going to deprive this child of this. So we gave him a bite of churro. And I think that was one of the first times he had like a his cake on his birthday, but my wife made it, and it was like cassava like flour and like, meh. Oh, I don't even really? Know. It was super healthy. Like, it had raspberries in it because he loves raspberries. But this might have been one of his first. He's tasted sugar a little bit here and there, but that was like the first like fried dough with sugar and cinnamon like thing. And it hit his lips, and he was like, and he's like, wait a minute. Oh, that's pretty incredible. And then he's like, oh, no.
Of course.
Okay.
I can't imagine why. Yeah. That sets him on a hard train.
Yeah.
Right,
so.
Oh, no. What?
I mean, if you look, growing up in Texas, I mean, you see, well, I my parents were fairly healthy, but still the stuff that we have. But even now, like, you go back and I'll look at, not my nieces per se, but like, their friends, or we go, my brother-in-law races dirt track modified. So you go to a dirt track on a Saturday night in Texas.
Yeah.
I kid you not. Oh, yeah. This kid was sitting, he's probably 4 or 5 years old, sitting a couple rows down last time we were there. And he, you know, he's running around and like causing a ruckus, everything like that. So the mom's like, sit your butt down, blah, 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 and hands him a Snickers. And I'm like, you really think that's going to curtail what's happening right here?
It's going to make it worse. Okay. All that sugar?
Yeah, exactly. So it's a different mentality, obviously, different places. And we don't want to just shelter them and make them this California bubble kid, right?
But we
are trying to, you know, prolong his life as much as possible and start him off early.
I think
early.
We just go with, like, all things in moderation, you know?
That's a great way to look at it.
Do as good as we can, where we can. Like, those applesauce pouches that I was talking about. Like, we go for the organic ones, you know, but then at the same time, they'll eat an Oscar Mayer hot dog too. So it's like, you know, it's like, as long as we do a little, then we feel like we're doing enough because, I mean, look, this body's brought to you by Sunny D. You know what I mean? Like, we all had it when we were kids.
Yeah,
and
we did.
I feel like it's going to be impossible. This is just our philosophy. Like, I feel like it's going to be impossible for them to avoid it completely.
Right.
For sure.
So it's just
Nor
as long
they.
As it's in moderation. Like, we go to the movie theater because our boy is 4 and a half. So we go to the movie theater. We get the popcorn.
Yeah.
You know, I put the butter on it.
As you should.
But then we get a water.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's funny though, because every time we're going to go to the theater, I, you know, a couple days before, I say, buddy, like Toy Story 4 came out like, you know, a month ago or whatever. And so I said, buddy, we're going to go see Toy Story 4. And he goes, okay, can we get a popcorn and a water? And I'm like, man, you sound like a nerd, but
so trained. Good boy.
We'll go, so.
Wow, that's awesome.
No, I mean, look, I'm not going to sit here in front and be like, I'm the epitome of health. Y'all had donuts in the lobby, and I had half a donut. So, look,
But you cut it in half. That's what's important.
I was that weird guy. Have, there's a knife
I'll have
and half
the other
a donut
half.
Left.
I will
there.
Have the
so
other
half.
I will go out there and have the other half.
As Nathan and I always are saying on this show, it's like, even the fact that you're thinking about it means that you're aware of it, and so he'll be better off because of it.
Right.
Yeah. Making conscious decisions, I think, is important, and keeping everything in moderation, but knowing what you're putting in your body is the most important thing, because when you get in that habit, like you said, of grabbing for snacks or doing things, and it's almost like muscle memory, that's when it becomes an issue. Yeah. And it's just trying to curtail that, I guess, is the best way of looking at it.
Sometimes I do wish it was a little bit more cut and dry, like the research, the true facts on, like, does organic make a difference or not? Like, is there, that's something that every time I go to the grocery store, I'm like, is this so dumb? Like, am I going to pay an extra $5 for this piece of chicken that is organic and grass fed and cage free versus the one that came from Foster Farms? You know? So that's, I wish that we were like 15 years in the future where we had more studies that actually showed, like, yes, it is better to give your kids like organic stuff, or like, are the pesticides like, you know, what effect does that have, like, on fruits and vegetables? Because I know that, like, when we can, we will do the organic. Like, if I'm sitting there and I'm looking at organic carrots and not organic carrots, and the organic carrots are, like, 50 cents more for the same bag. It's like, I'll do it. But, like, what's hard for me is meat, especially, because it's, like, double the price.
Yeah, it's really
expensive. For us, that's the thing that's probably the most important. I don't think we do anything that's not organic meat anymore, that's, like, cleaner and, you know, not hormone-treated and everything else. So it's hard because it's the most expensive thing that you can do to try to go organic with that. But we read How Not to Die. I think Michael Greger wrote that book.
Heard of this. I have not read it.
It'll change your life. It's very eye-opening. And if what he is saying is true, that was a big motivator for us to go organic whenever possible because of the science of what with dioxins and all of the stuff that's in the fat of animals. And like it made us really careful about like trying to cut fat off of like steaks and stuff when we can, because that's where like apparently the worst of the
all the flavor.
Exactly. I know. That's why it's so, so hard. This struggle is so rough, and it's something that we at least I personally go back and forth on all the time, just wondering, like, how much is this actually going to make a difference?
Well, this is always my question, too. And I, you know what I don't like around about all this is, like, is some parents out there, it's, like, the shame factor that gets involved with all this stuff of like you don't go full organic.
Yes.
And then there's all this, like, judgment and all this stuff that comes on the other side. So then I'm standing at the grocery store, and I'm like, okay, the organic is $3 more, but I really don't think it matters, but
I won't be
the
judged.
Neighbors
in line
are gonna judge me, the other people in line, when they see my kid, they're gonna be like clutching their pearls, going like, "I can't believe, you know, that you got him Otter Pops or whatever." And I, you know, I don't like that part of it either, though.
Right?
Yeah.
You know? You guys bring up an interesting point though, because none of this was stuff. Even though I've been kind of, you know, conscientious of what I put in my body and everything, because I, you know, backstory, when I was in high school, I was a hefty boy and was not in shape. You know, I used to eat anything and everything, then really got tired of the way I felt and the way I looked, and so I went the other direction and went from like 200 pounds worth of chunk to like 155 at like 6.5% body fat.
Right.
When I went super crazy about it.
Right.
So I educated myself enough, I thought, back then. But to y'all's point, like, becoming a father, I've researched so much stuff, and there is so many like counteractive articles about what this does or what that does. And, you know, also the whole parent shaming thing. And like, I don't really worry too much about being judged per se, but it's still in my head. Like, you know, even talking about these developmental leaps and things, like, oh, you know, is your kid doing this? Is your kid, like, right now, is Enzo walking and everything like that? Oh, he's close, blah blah blah. And I answer the question. Sometimes you see people's like, oh yeah, my kid walked at 9 months or whatever, and I want to smack him, and I'm like,
yeah,
this isn't a competition. And if you look around this room, Can you say if you walked before me or after? Or
no.
Did you, were you faster?
No,
none of that matters in the grand scheme of things, but it's weird how there's a microscope on all of this stuff about life now that I'm a father, you know?
Especially at these early, early phases where it's like, it's all the things that everyone does. I mean, I never potty trained, so I still have a diaper, but I'm walking,
okay.
I'm talking.
That's all right. You know what? We can't see it from here, man.
Exactly.
You're fine.
They're so good now. They make them so thin and
in
so incredibly absorbent.
Way,
so you're
that
good,
is
dude.
Extremely efficient.
Right, exactly.
You never
I'm not
have
wasting
to go take time to go sit in the bathroom.
Right. Well, you had 8 hours in that Baja truck, you know?
Exactly.
You wore a
it
diaper
had to go
for that.
Somewhere.
There's things. There's ways of making that efficient. Yeah,
yeah,
go I don't know if it's dad
go
appropriate.
Go and let it dry. Go and let it
podcast
dry.
Podcast stuff,
fine.
But there's let's put it this way. They make it's catheters that don't get inserted, but
it's like a balloon that like wraps.
Yeah, it just, you know, wraps around, and then it just hangs out the side of the truck.
Oh
and
my god!
Just
out
let
the
it
side.
Go. Out the side.
You're just watering the plants as you go.
It's a desert. It needs every little bit it can get.
It needs the electrolytes.
Yes, absolutely.
I don't know, man. My feeling too, and maybe this is just like a silly joke I say, but it's like, you could try as hard as you can, do the whole organic thing, in which like I said, we make that choice sometimes. I'd say about half the time. But at the end of the day, too, it's like, we live in L.A. They're going to walk out and breathe the smog anyway.
Exactly.
So I don't know. You can't protect them from every little thing.
Everything's going
to
kill
them. I also don't want him to be that kid, though, that, like, goes to school and, like, you know, runs in fear from a Snickers bar or something. You know, it's
true.
Like, it's all good. Like,
gotta,
you're going to be around
life.
It. Just learn all things in moderation. We had a birthday party for one of them, I don't know, at one point. And we had like a whole like cooler full of like drinks for everybody, you know, sodas and waters and whatever, and just Capri Suns.
Mm-hmm. We had
so many Capri Suns after the party.
Yep,
because it was in L.A. If that same party was in Texas, those Capri Suns would be gone, my friend.
It's hilarious that you say that, because Enzo's first birthday, I purposely bought Capri Suns because it reminded me of my youth, right?
Yeah,
and I kid you not, like, there was probably 7 or 8 of them in total that got drank during his birthday party.
Nobody else
touched
them.
So we still have, like, dude, come on over. There's like a 40 pack.
Do you
of
have
Capri
some
Suns.
Pacific cooler?
Absolutely,
because that's the one.
Yes,
that
dude.
Is the only flavor worth drinking.
I'm like, I'm literally standing there, like, nobody's drinking. I'm like, guys, a specific cooler. Do you not remember this? Have you forgotten your youth?
Well, I'll say that at another birthday party, at a different one, we learned our lesson and we were like, okay, fine, we'll do the honest juice boxes, right? All of them gone.
Yep.
Oh, geez.
So there you go. And it's the same people were invited to the party, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, I don't know. It's funny. And to Nathan's point, like, I don't know how much of a difference it really all makes, but it is sort of this, like, image thing, and I don't know. It's
so much of the marketing. It's a combination of like playing on fears and playing on comparison.
Sure, you know? And we all just want, and of course, we all just want to do the best we can for our kids, right?
Because
sure.
That's what they're preying on. Is like, don't you want to be a good parent? Don't you want to only put good things in their body? Well, then you better shell out for some goop.
But you know what? Sometimes the best thing to put in their body is a churro.
That was a valiant effort.
I like
churro.
I love how you said it like an Italian.
I don't know. Churro. I went for it, but that is right.
Yeah,
that's the best thing to eat at Disneyland.
Yeah, that and a turkey leg.
You know, speaking of things that like I haven't eaten since I was a kid or whatever, and this is another guilty thing, and it ties in with like lack of time, etc. Mm-hmm. And dad bod ties in with everything. This is a genius point I'm about to make.
Okay,
I have not spent as much time in a McDonald's drive-through in the past 15 years as I have in the past 6 months.
Really?
Yeah. Because I find that like we're on the road or whatever and Enzo falls asleep and I'm like nap trapped and I gotta go somewhere, but I'm by myself and I can't, it's frowned upon to leave your child in the car and go in somewhere. You know?
In California?
Yeah.
Times are changing, man.
Right. But so I'm like, okay, what can I get quickly and blah, blah, blah. So I'm resorting to drive-thrus and I'll just go and
So what's the order? What's like the go-to?
2 6-piece chicken nuggets.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why you get 2 6-piece chicken nuggets, and this is sad that I know this, but versus getting like a 10-piece or whatever. Because 6-piece chicken nuggets are on sale for $2 a piece.
This so is you some dad hacks right
dad
here.
Dad hack right here. Yeah. You get 12 nuggets for cheaper than 10 nuggets.
Bro.
And you're out of the drive-thru. If you want to get a drink with that, beverage and 12 nuggets for under $5. Under $6.
It's you're practically making money.
You really are. The time that I saved.
Right.
My time is money.
Yes.
So the time that I saved being efficient, going through a drive-thru and spending a tenth of what I would have spent for an organic chicken breast at Whole Foods.
Yep.
I am satiated.
Yep.
Boom.
And you wouldn't have to cook it. If you were paying yourself minimum wage for your time, you would be in the green just walking through that drive-thru. Get a quarter pounder for all I care. You're still good to go.
How long until McNuggets are certified organic?
Oh, it's got to be within 5 years.
It's coming.
It's coming,
because
right?
They started marketing, I don't know how long ago, maybe 5-10 years ago, like all white meat chicken nuggets. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, that's great. That's healthy. What were they made of?
Yeah, what was it before?
I'll tell you guys. I did a Burger King commercial one time.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And I ate over 60 nuggets that day.
Oh, I remember this commercial.
They didn't give you a spit bucket?
They did, but the whole commercial was like improvisational. No, the commercial was like improvisational, so they're just doing like long takes.
Yeah.
So they're just like asking us peppering in questions, and we're trying to be funny, and so they're not cutting. So it'd be weird to just sort of lean over and spit it all out mid-conversation. So just you're just eating them naturally and not really realizing it. Yeah. And then at the end of the day, you're like asking the food guy or whatever, like, how many have we eaten? He's like, oh, it's over 60. You're like, geez. The point is, though, is that it was all very improvisational, so there's no written down lines. So we're just sitting there, oh, yeah, we love Chicken McNuggets, or Chicken Nuggets, blah, 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 blah.
You can say, you're going to get fired if you said Chicken McNuggets.
We,
did,
we never said the Mick part, but we just kept saying, oh, Chicken Nuggets, Chicken Nuggets, Chicken Nuggets. About halfway through the day, the director walks up. He goes, okay, Brett, you stop saying you're all about the nug life. Can you please stop saying that? And then he said, and also, guys, you guys keep saying Chicken Nuggets. Note from the client. You're not allowed to call them chicken nuggets. And we were
That's
like,
scary.
What?
Oh,
and he's
wow.
like, yeah. And just keep an eye out, guys. When you go to fast food places, they're never really called chicken nuggets on any of the signage. It's like 10 nuggets for a dollar or whatever.
Whoa.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Good to know. Good to know.
There's another dad hack right there.
Yeah.
Yep.
Eric, thanks for coming in and hanging out, man.
This was a pleasure.
Yeah,
please,
man.
Come back, because I enjoyed sitting and talking with you.
I would like to. I would like to come often. Yeah. Thank you guys so much for having me.
Anytime,
I appreciate it.
Anytime, man.
Well, what do you think? Did we cover it?
Yeah, I think we covered everything.
I'm not sure if we covered it.
No, we did.